Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. The president says he has a plan for ending the instability rocking the financial markets.
We must act now to protect our nation's economic health from serious risk.
The plan will be laid out for lawmakers this weekend. There are few details other than it will take a lot of money. Here's correspondent Mark Noller.
The closest the government can get to telling taxpayers how much of our money it will take to bail out the banks of their bad mortgage debt is hundreds of billions of dollars.
This action does entail risk, but we expect that this money will eventually be paid back.
But it won't be any time soon, certainly long after President Bush leaves office in 4 months. And he says the risk to the nation of not taking action is, in his words, far higher. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
On Wall Street, investors were cheered by the news. The Dow finished 368 points higher. The Nasdaq was up 74. WCBS News reporter Jenny Casola was on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange.
I have never, I've been here 30 years, never seen such a crazy week.
Alan Valdez, head of floor trading for Hilliard Lyons, is relieved to see this weekend.
It was the feeling, not only here on Wall Street, but on Main Street. I mean, I went home and people would say, hey, are my money markets safe? Should I bail out? What should I do with my cash? So it's beginning to spread, and you felt that.
Not only did the market turn around, so did the mood of traders. Some even sang happy birthday to a colleague. Jenny Cosola, CBS News at the New York Stock Exchange.
Could this now impact stocks? Oil prices are on the rise, up another $6 a barrel today. Analyst John Kilduff.
We had wild price swings surrounding Hurricane Ike. And the fears of devastating damage to the refiners.
He expects prices to remain around the $100 a barrel mark for the foreseeable future. A bar in Chicago is reaching out to some of those hard hit by the financial failings.
Who could blame a Lehman Brothers worker from crying in their beer this week? For the rest of this month, five nights a week, they can do it for half price at Chicago's 50-50 restaurant.
Well, let's give them 50% off. You know, it's not the employees' fault what's going on out there.
Scott Weiner says the offer extends to employees of bailed out AIG as well.
You know, we just wanted to reach out and do something that might make them put a little smile on their face.
For half off your dinner and drinks, you just show that you work or worked at one of those two troubled companies. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
A new mayor was sworn in today in Detroit. Ken Cockrell takes over from Kwame Kilpatrick, who resigned in disgrace. Cockrell called this a time of renewal.
From this moment on, the past is the past, and we as a community and as a city and as a region have to move forward. We're going to move forward.
No one showed up to testify today, but an Alaska investigator says he hopes to complete his investigation into so-called Troopergate before the election. He's looking into whether Governor Sarah Palin improperly tried to fire her former brother-in-law, a state trooper. This is CBS News.
It's time to choose a healthcare benefits and insurance plan. How do I
decide based on facts and my friends who are really happy with
Aetna? You're choosing the most admired insurance and managed care company according to Fortune magazine. And Aetna has one of the largest networks of physicians and dentists. So when it's time to choose a healthcare company,
an Aetna plan can help me
feel and stay healthier.
Talk to your employer or sign up at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health benefits and insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
You're a small business person, so you're the buyer, the seller, the bean counter, the chief cook, and the bottle washer. You know your best new business comes from your current customers. But what's the best way to reach them? ConstantContact.com, the easy, effective email marketing service. Constant Contact gives you professional online newsletters fast, without any technical skills. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial and plans as low as $15 a month. ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
The victims of last week's train collision in California will be remembered in a special tribute, as John Baird of KNX reports.
Well, I live right down the street from the actual crash.
She didn't hear the impact itself, but Haley Giz couldn't miss the aftermath. The sirens and the helicopters flooding into her Chatsworth neighborhood. Now, 1 week later, the 15-year-old Chaminade 10th grader, along with her friend Kristen, are putting on a candlelight vigil at the train station to honor people who were hurt and killed in the accident.
It's devastating, definitely, because, first of all, it's so close to where we live.
Haley says she and her friend Kristen felt that a candlelight vigil was just something they had to do.
25 people were killed in that collision. Tracks reopened south of Los Angeles today after a commuter train collided with a bus. 14 people were hurt. Hurricane Ike churned up the Gulf and left behind what may be a treasure for archaeologists. They think it may be a Civil War schooner that ran aground in 1862. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Today, cantaloupes are
it's
2 for $1 and cereals are 1% off.
Hurry up
and don't forget to buy your rewards card and take advantage of even better deals.
Too much at once can make it hard to hear what's really important. The same could be said about driving. When there's too much on the road, things can get a bit crowded. And since one CSX train reduces traffic congestion by carrying the load of 280 trucks, fewer things will get in the way of you having a smooth drive. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world, and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
The story is true. Dragnet. Dragnet.
You got a lot of
Detective Joe Friday, would you like to take on a colossal crime?
Must be what keeps your hair up.
Well, just report to Wall Street. That'll keep you busy for the next 6 to 8 years. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show as we get underway today. Good to have you with us, wherever you happen to be listening, from Big Sur all the way up the left coast, north of the Canadian border. Lots to talk about and great people to talk with. Two fine journalists in our first hour, both named Robert. They both go by the name Bob. Robert Perry will join us first, and then Robert Dreyfus. Dreyfus writes for The Nation, where he's got a new blog up called The Dreyfus Report. And some of his recent entries include a question about whether China might be able to help stabilize the Middle East. And we're also going to talk about Pakistan, trouble spot on the globe. In our second hour today, we take a look at that meltdown of the American markets. Danny Schechter, who blogs at MediaChannel.org, put out a documentary almost 2 years ago called In Debt We Trust, warning about, well, what's been happening this week. Got a new book about it called Plunder, too. Danny, next hour. Plus, Mark Winston Griffith from the Drum Major Institute. He's a fellow there. Going to talk about the impact here of the meltdown on working families. Then in our third hour, as usual, Brad Friedman will join us from bradblog.com. We told you recently about a movie that Brad's featured in called Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies. And one of our guests today will be the producer and director of that film, Patty Shiroff. That's all ahead here on the PBC show. You're welcome to join the conversation whenever the urge strikes you. It's 888-5-PETER-B, and it won't cost you a nickel. Nope, we pay for the call toll-free, 888-573-8372. Robert Perry joins us. He's the journalist whose most recent book is called Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush, and that title is more prescient than ever. You can read his ongoing dispatches at consortiumnews.com, the nonprofit news site that he operates. And Bob's been on the road this week, traveling around different parts of the country. Good to have you with us, Bob Perry.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
And it appears to me that after lipstick on pigs and lies about Barack Obama promoting sex education for kindergartners, that both campaigns have had a kind of stunning shakeup and a jolt and had to come back to reality this week. And the market meltdown really has led at least to them talking about those issues. Hasn't stopped some of the charges and countercharges that fly around, but it has at least required that the campaigns focus on the most important issue, which has become the American economy.
I think that's right, Peter. I think the big question becomes whether the U.S. political process as it now exists can actually grapple with these kinds of important issues that, that truly do affect the nation and, in a larger sense, the people of the world. Is this political process, which has been dumbed down for really 30-some years, and along with that dumbing down and that appeal to emotionalism and to distracting kinds of questions, and under that, and during that period, we saw this development of the deregulation of pretty much everything, this idea that the government is the problem, not the solution, which was of course, Ronald Reagan's motto during the 1980 campaigns and then when he became president. So you have this nation that has been sort of adrift in this la-la land for several decades, not wanting to deal with the real world as it presents itself, but rather dealing with these diversionary questions. And while policies were implemented that essentially allowed the kind of plundering of a whole variety of industries that we've seen. And
Wait, Bob, right. Wait a minute. The president, he warned me. He actually, you know, wagged a little finger and warned me today that we can't talk about the causes. We can't talk about who's to blame. Because right now we've got to focus on fixing this, and it would be a mistake to actually look at the root causes, look at the policies and the people who caused this whole house of cards to collapse. We can't do that. We can only talk about the president's bailout package.
Well, it's also interesting more recently, though, that just a week or so ago, John McCain was actually saying that one of the problems with the economy was having all this involve these alphabet soup regulatory agencies, and we had to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now it appears that that's flipped around, and McCain is now saying we have to actually start a new agency, which I presume will add to this alphabet soup.
Yes, it'll be called Misfit.
That's out there.
It'll be called Misfit, Bob. I think the letters are Mortgage and Financial Institution Trust, and the closest I could come to forging an acronym out of that is Misfit.
But it is ironic to see that these anti-regulators suddenly become pro-regulators, and even the case of Chris Cox at the SEC, and of course I covered the SEC for a number of years when I was working with Bloomberg News. This idea that the SEC was over-regulating for a while, this is from the post-Enron period, there was more aggressive regulation, the Sarbanes-Oxley bill was put in and so forth, so there was an effort to get some control of these things. And then we saw the feeling evolve in the last couple of years that had gone too far. And Chris Cox, who had been a strong deregulator in Congress, was made head of the SEC. And he pushed, again, this idea that you don't have to be as tightly regulatory. He loosened up some of the rules. And some of the results we're seeing, and now John McCain wants to fire him. So there's been a lot of reversals in the last couple of weeks.
It is fascinating, and I think you were a little diplomatic or kind to describe John McCain's flip here as ironic. This is a repudiation of everything that he has stood for as a Republican senator for 20 years. And the efforts that he has undertaken, I mean, the quotes are out there. As recently as March, he was saying that, "I always believe in less regulation." And so for him now to become this maverick reformer, because he met this gal from Alaska who's going to be a maverick with him, and she started talking about stringent oversight and that the old boys are responsible for this. Well, isn't she talking about John McCain when she talks about the old boys? I mean, he's a boy, and he's one of the oldest in Washington.
Well, I think that's probably true, although I wouldn't believe anything that campaign is now saying, because the words just change depending on what situation they're confronting. If there is still this idea that the American public can be fooled again. There hasn't been any real change with this with that group in terms of how they ultimately view the need for deregulation. Phil Graham, the big deregulator when he was in the Senate and a long time close advisor to John McCain, is still around.
Mm-hmm.
He has to hide in the background a bit. He's left his official position with the campaign, but he remains one of John McCain's top advisors. And these folks haven't changed their views. They may be changing their words. Now, because they need to get elected in a couple of months, but once they do, or if they do, one can't assume that they're going to go back and not return to their old ways of deregulating.
Well, yeah, and they have not renounced their loyalty to the whole Bush agenda, to the tax cuts, to the way that all of the war costs were, you know, accounted for using Enron techniques. That is, they were, you know, loaded off the books, essentially offshore. And so, you know, my bottom line on this, Bob, is what I see is that we will not be able to have health care reform. We will not be able to afford to provide coverage for every American. And this is the drowning government in the bathtub that Grover Norquist has been fantasizing about for so long. I think it just happened a little ahead of schedule. They wanted the meltdown to occur on the next president's watch.
Well, I think they wanted to sort of put it off as long as they could, because they were obviously, they and their friends are making lots of money. But now the issue really does become, can the American people look at this in an effective, tough way, considering all the nonsense that has become our political process for three decades?
Mm-hmm.
Can the American people make the reversal in this time that's ahead? And holding both the Democrats and to agree Republicans accountable for what they've said and done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, though, McCain has been a leader in this deregulation fight. He proudly talks about himself as a Reagan Republican. It was Ronald Reagan who brought these ideas to Washington, the guy who said that the government is the problem, not the solution. But then the last week we have seen, when it comes to bailing out Wall Street, government has suddenly become the solution.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to take a break, and when we return, Bob, I want to talk about the task that has been assigned to the Congress. We've seen that Secretary Paulson has been spending his weekends bailing out corporations, and now he claims that by Monday, the Congress will put together legislation for this massive bailout that has not been accounted for. We don't know the extent of the losses. The figure $1 trillion is tossed around pretty loosely. But this is a very remarkable sequence of events, and it appears that they're going to try to get the Congress here in the middle of a political campaign to jam through this bailout legislation. And the president didn't even define what he's looking for when he announced this at the news conference at the White House on Friday. We'll pick up there as we continue. And if you have a question or comment for me and Bob Perry, call us now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. If you're listening on the weekend, the best way to check in is email. That's peter@peterbcollins.com.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping.
Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drops, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Allen Show. Late and almost great, Buddy Miles singing and playing the drums with Carlos Santana. Going through them changes. America's going through some changes this week, the bottom line. Corporate losses will be bailed out by the government, and you get to pay for it. And nominally, you're now part owner of the world's largest insurance group, AIG. It's ironic for me that the head of natural disasters, FEMA, is named Paulson, and the Secretary of the Treasury, who never expected to work weekends when he took the gig coming over from Wall Street, Henry Paulson, has been very busy on weekends through the summer and here into September. Almost a bailout a week with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, followed by Merrill Lynch and Lehman Brothers, and then this week it got really intense. And so, Bob Perry, the assignment for Henry Paulson this week is to huddle with the leaders on Capitol Hill and forge some legislation that meets the intent of the president. Appears to be a plan to set up this misfit or, a clone of the Resolution Trust Corporation, where they parked all the losses from the savings and loans. And what they did back there was they peeled off the healthy portions of the savings and loans in their portfolios and fed them to insiders in the banking industry. And then the losses were all gathered in this one mausoleum called the Resolution Trust Corporation. And they just sent a single bill to the taxpayers. Actually, there were installments, but it totaled about $100 billion. Now, that was the John McCain bailout from the Keating Five and the whole savings and loan scandal of the 1980s. And this seems to be the same, but just on steroids, on a much larger scale. What do you think the prospects are that Monday we'll see a piece of legislation?
Well, I think Paulson is, with his history as an investment banker, he certainly is a person who's knowledgeable about how the ins and outs of that industry. So he's not probably the worst person to have in this job. He's probably one of the better appointees that Bush has made in regards to the economy. So you have a guy who at least knows what he's doing as he's putting some of this together. But he clearly is flying by the seat of his pants. He's to change the metaphor, into uncharted waters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he recognizes that. And I think that's what is so scary about this moment, is that even the experts don't quite know where this is headed or how big the problem is or what they're exactly grappling with.
Well, you just said it there, Bob. How do we plan a bailout when we don't know the extent of the damage?
Right. It is similar in that sense to the SNL case, although that was a smaller, more confined problem, is more geographically confined. But as you point out, again, John McCain was one of the villains in the SNL situation. He was mm-hmm. probably the guy who was most active with Charles Keating, one of the big SNL swindlers. His wife was in business with Keating.
Right.
They vacationed together in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. They flew on Keating's corporate jet. But he was basically let off. He got the lightest sentence, really, of the five so-called Keating Five senators, even though he may have been the most culpable.
Yeah.
So you have John McCain having done that. He then built that reputation of being a reformer by saying he learned his lessons, but he did not learn the lessons about the dangers of deregulation.
Mm-hmm.
He continued with that, pushing it, and now we're at a new level of crisis. But many of the same problems that we should have seen and learned from back in the 80s and early 90s, we're relearning now.
Yeah, and I've been guest blogging this week at airamerica.com. You can read a post I wrote that's up today about the McKeating Five, which takes us back to those days in the 1980s. Billy joins us from Capitola with a comment. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Bob, Peter's right when he says that it looks like we could have lost universal health care. But, Peter, in another world, you're wrong, because what did we learn? We learned that, first of all, we really are a socialist country. and we learned that if we can, if we lend $1 trillion to the capitalists, can't we insist that we get universal health care?
Oh, no.
I'm dead serious, actually.
No.
Imagine if the Democrats insisted that, you'll get your money. And as you point out, Peter, where does it end? Well, you just keep digging. You can't let it fail. So as ever money, much money as we have to print, because we don't have that $1 trillion.
No, we don't.
So we're printing it, which, by the way, screws all the all of us older retired people, because every dollar that I thought I had mm-hmm. is on its way to being worth a dime.
Yeah, here comes inflation, and the full faith and credit of the U.S. government will be employed here to back up another Bush blank check.
But what about trading the capitalists for universal health care? I'm serious.
Well, I know you're serious, and I'd love to see it, but I don't think it's politically tenable, largely because most Democrats won't support that.
Why? What's the argument you can make? You can't make the argument that it costs too much, because we learned that nothing costs anything if you want it.
All right, Bob, your comment?
Well, I think it's a very good point. I mean, things are done when the people in charge say they need to be done, when the real big boys decide things have to happen. So you do have that when the smaller people want something, it's done. necessarily going
to
happen.
Yeah, one by one, we're all allowed to fail due to our losing our homes or going bankrupt
right.
due to health.
Well, you didn't hear the president's lecture this morning. He said he wants a bill out of Capitol Hill next week, and it should have no amendments on it. That means, you know, we're going to bail out the corporations, but no extension of unemployment benefits, no extra food stamps, no relief for people paying higher gasoline and heating oil prices.
To the chimp.
The chimp?
The chimp.
You mean the lame duck?
The chimp.
Well, you also get $10 billion a month for the war in Iraq, which has to be forced paid because
right.
we can't possibly leave Iraq. So
Bob, I'm out of time, but thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week. And
thanks,
Billy, thank you for the call. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and by Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. At the core of the economic tidal wave that's brought down major financial institutions and shaken markets here and around the world is a credit crunch, a credit crisis, really. The very word credit comes from the Latin credo, I believe, from which we get the words credit, credence, credentials, and creed. So credit is faith. When you lend money to somebody or issue a credit card, what you are saying, in effect, is this.
Well, I believe in you. I believe in you.
More after this. Did you know that the most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, or AMD? This does not happen overnight ordinarily, but in some people it can develop rather quickly. It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. If you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor by all means and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations. Which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
When you get to the point where banks won't lend money to other banks, it's because they do not believe strongly enough in the other bank's ability to make good. In any sort of business transaction, whether it's a mortgage loan, accepting a check in payment for goods or services received, it's an expression of trust, of faith in your fellow man. In a revival of Frank Lesser's wonderful musical, How to Succeed in Business, Matthew Broderick played the role of J. Pierpont Finch, who sings about this very thing.
And when my faith in my fellow man.
It should be noted, considering what's happening today, that when Finch sings that creed of his,
well, I believe in you. I believe in you.
He is looking in the mirror. The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, a licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, asthma, allergies, headache, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been used for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the underlying causes of disease in your body? I offer acupuncture, Chinese medical massage, and have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and I accept insurance. Call me, Glenn Sadowski, at 655-3208. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, create healthy lifestyles, and make informed decisions regarding their wellness. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 and on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Mention KRXA to receive a 25% discount. Think for yourself and think for your health.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Our musical advice of the moment. Check your posture. Don't be slouching. Just hold your head up, okay? Promise of two great journalists named Bob this hour. You heard Robert Perry, and Robert Dreyfus joins us now, and I'm bringing you regards from Bob Perry. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Peter. How are you today?
That's too many Bobs and Roberts in one sentence, isn't it? I'm doing fine.
You can't have too many Bobs.
Hey, what are you going to do with your new insurance company, AIG?
I'm thinking of selling it to the Chinese.
Yeah? Don't they already own a stake in it?
Well, you know, one of the things I remember way back when I was looking at Maurice Greenberg, who used to be the head of AIG, and he got all bollocksed up in indictments and all that kind of thing. But Greenberg, who, by the way, he was once mentioned as a possible CIA director back in the 90s under Bill Clinton, and he was kind of a unpleasant fellow, but he had massive involvement in China, and he was building actually more than just an insurance involvement in China, but an intelligence operation. Because you know, insurance really is intelligence.
Yes, it is.
You have to know stuff, right?
Yeah, to know what the risk is, you got to know what's going on.
Exactly, and AIG had a massive intelligence operation going on in China.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've always, to some degree, doubled as allies of the CIA overseas in terms of allowing and sharing offices and agents and so on with the U.S. intelligence community. So maybe it isn't. It's appropriate that now the U.S. government has taken them over, lock, stock, and barrel.
It's the front group that we thought it might be.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, Bob, that's what I enjoy about you, because you have such rich knowledge, and I tossed out a throwaway line, and you come back with something of, you know, very interesting that I didn't know about Greenberg, about the consideration for him at the CIA, and it does tend to dovetail, because, you know, Lehman Brothers wasn't too big to fail, and AIG is a bigger company, and I understand some of the ripple effect risks from its potential failure. But, you know, it's hard to understand what can change the free market orientation of the Republicans who run the show right now. And this was a case that did that.
Yeah, well, when the free market tends to or threatens to bankrupt, you know, a couple of 100,000 wealthy Republicans, the Republicans suddenly decide that maybe government intervention isn't so bad after all.
Yeah, yeah. It just as a last resort, right? Just before we wipe out some more billionaires?
Well, to be continued on this economic story. But I hope you're not going to get me into a discussion of economics, because I'll get lost really quickly.
I hit the wall in Econ 101. The book was by Samuelson, and it was just too much for me. You don't have any worries there. I came across.
So you and I and John McCain have a lot in common. We don't understand economics at all.
Somehow I think you and I know a little more than he does. but we're willing to admit where our limits are. Bob, I noticed today your extensive blog, the Dreyfus Report, at thenation.com. And,
yes, I moved it over to The Nation because they pay me for it. So,
oh, good.
I can kill two birds with one stone, you know.
A paid blogging gig. That's a really exciting new development.
Yes, it's definitely one that I endorse.
Well, I want people to go and check it out because you have a range of subjects there that you've reported on over the last couple of months, and we won't be able to cover all of them today, but I really think it's a great place to showcase your work and your knowledge and the various sources and connections that you've developed over the years. I wanted to start with your top blog entry, which is asking the question of whether China might be able to help stabilize the Middle East, and you went through a presentation by Ken Pollack, and you note that he wrote a book as an alleged liberal supporting the invasion of Iraq, and his new one is called A Path Out of the Desert, A Grand Strategy for America in the Middle East, which you'd say is a rather grandiosely titled book, and I can agree with that just on the face of it. But does he have some interesting ideas to help stabilize the Middle East and get the United States out of the role as the provocateur, the occupier, the Christian army that has invaded this Islamic territory?
Well, I wouldn't go that far that he has any ideas about getting the United States out of the picture. I think that Pollack, like most of the American establishment, kind of see that it's our, you know, civilizing mission to own and operate the Middle East. But there's different ways of going about that. And Pollack surprised me when I asked him about the role of China. Because of all the countries in the world, China is the one that ought to care most about the Middle East. As they grow and industrialize, they've become hugely dependent and will become even more so in the future on oil supplies from the Persian Gulf, especially from Saudi Arabia and Iraq and Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And that's simply because those three countries have, you know, most of the energy. And so China has a strong interest in making sure that they have access to that oil and that the United States doesn't lord it over them and stand in the way. And many of the neoconservatives and other hardline members of the American right see American control of the Persian Gulf not only as a way of protecting oil supplies for our allies, like in Europe, but also of kind of holding the sword of Damocles over China, because if we can control that part of the world, we have leverage vis-a-vis China. And it becomes kind of a zero-sum game, almost a competitive, and possibly, you know, more than just diplomatically, but even militarily competitive fight between the United States and China.
Hmm.
So Pollack surprised me by saying that he thought it would be a good idea to invite China into the region to help stabilize it. And I'm actually researching an article now on Pakistan and Afghanistan, but I think even more broadly, the idea that China could play a positive and constructive role in the region is something that the next administration really needs to think seriously about exploring, and not just China, but just as we look at Iraq and say, look, the way to stabilize Iraq is to get Iraq's neighbors invested in that is, you know, Turkey and Iran and Saudi Arabia and others, and get the UN and Russia involved. Well, China, too, could play a very important role in going into Iraq and helping them to rebuild their oil industry. And the Iraqis have figured this out. As you know, Iraq just signed a $3 billion agreement with China that's apparently going to be worth up to $55 billion over the next number of years.
It's not just allowing
China to come into Iraq and help rebuild their oil industry.
But it's not just a technical services agreement. Does it also license fields to them?
Well, it, it's more than technical services, but it's really opening the door for China to come in and provide help to the Iraqi oil industry needs billions and billions of dollars of capital investment. It needs technology that the Iraqis don't have. It needs its oil wells have to be cleaned out and rebuilt. Its pipelines have to, its refineries, its oil exporting facilities. But this is going to take probably $50, $60, $80 billion over the next number of years. And the Iraqis don't have that kind of money. Believe it or not, they're a poor country, despite all this talk you hear from Democrats about how the Iraqis have all this money in the bank.
Right.
Really and truly, they're a small, impoverished nation. So if they don't get Western help from the big multinationals, which comes with a price, I think the next best thing is to get help from countries like China and India, who are the ones who really need the oil. And it's interesting, too, that when you talk about Afghanistan and Pakistan and the crisis there as it kind of, flops back and forth across the border between those two countries, and you have the Taliban and all those Islamist groups, wreaking havoc, China and Russia and Iran, along with India, are probably the key players who could underwrite the security of Afghanistan and Pakistan if and when, and hopefully soon, the United States and NATO start to draw down there. So in other words, it might shock the advisors to Barack Obama, who are suggesting that what we need to do in Afghanistan to send another 20 or 30,000 troops in and put more money in and spend another 10 years fighting the Taliban. In fact, if the United States were to start negotiating a withdrawal from Afghanistan, which the Europeans would only be too happy to go along with because they're really reluctant to get in there,
mm-hmm.
I think you'd find that a regional solution, just as it would work in Iraq, would also work in Afghanistan. And the Pakistanis in particular, if they could establish some sort of mutually beneficial security agreement with India, would then stop worrying about supporting the Taliban as a counterweight to India. Because that's for the last 35 years, that's what this whole fight has been about.
Yeah.
It's Pakistan trying to build up its influence in Afghanistan and Central Asia as a way of outflanking India. So you can approach this as a counterinsurgency problem. We have to kill all those bad guys there. Or you can approach it as a regional diplomatic problem, that if India and Pakistan can work out their differences, and, it might take a few years, the Pakistanis would have no problem at all in cutting off the legs of the Taliban, because they don't like these guys. None of them, even Musharraf, was a whiskey-drinking secular guy. He's no Islamist, Taliban-supporting, girls' school-closing, barbershop-burning fanatic. Musharraf was a Western-educated, trained at schools in England, and that's true of most of these Pakistani military guys. They just use the Taliban as puppets.
Yeah, and in fact, the Bhutto government, before it was toppled there in the mid-1990s, supported the Taliban as a way of buying peace on their eastern frontier. Because, as you pointed out, their focus has always been about India, and so they wanted to basically just find some way to pacify Afghanistan. They didn't really care about religious extremism. They simply didn't want a military government to arise in Kabul that could challenge them on that flank. Bob, we got to take a break and we'll continue. I want to come back and talk about Pakistan, talk about the remarkable shift in policy the U.S. has made, and the recent attacks, including American troops landing by helicopter and entering the territory of Pakistan. We'll pick up there with Robert Dreyfus. Visit his blog at thenation.com. It's called The Dreyfus Report. And if you have a question, now's the time. Call me toll free 888-5-PETER-B 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman, and you're listening to Monterey Bay's progressive voice, KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build community, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour, talking with Robert Dreyfus. He's an independent journalist who publishes in many great outlets. And as we mentioned, he's blogging on a regular basis at thenation.com. And Bob, a recent post, a dispatch, you report, as we read in the New York Times, that President Bush gave an order back in July allowing special forces to carry out ground assaults inside Pakistan. Earlier this week, we spoke with British journalist Adrian Levy, who reported to us on some cross-border conflicts where U.S. troops in one case did cross into Pakistani territory, and Pakistan forces were firing guns into the air. And subsequently, the generals in Pakistan have issued new rules of engagement permitting Pakistan forces to shoot American troops if they do cross the border. So this creates a real series of layers of problems, because many Americans believe that Pakistan is a staunch U.S. ally, and after $11 billion in payments over the last few years, they expect Pakistan to live up to its words and cooperate in our efforts to capture Taliban and Al-Qaeda operatives who are thought to be hiding out in that rural part of North and South Waziristan. So how do you read this, and has the Bush administration blundered here by not properly consulting with Pakistan before we basically violate its borders?
Well, blundered is an understatement. I can't imagine anything more reckless or dangerous than to start expanding the war from Afghanistan into Pakistan. In my post, I compared it to the idiotic expansion of the Vietnam War into Cambodia, when the U.S. military then claimed that the Viet Cong sanctuaries and headquarters were across the borders in Laos and Cambodia. And so if we could only take out those bases there, we could end the Vietnam War quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact is that the organized resistance to the American occupation of Afghanistan has nothing to do at all with Pakistan. It has to do with the Afghan people who fought the Soviet Union with American support for 9 or 10 years, now simply deciding they don't want to be occupied by the United States either. And the Taliban is the handiest adversary that they have to support, and they're increasingly supporting it in many districts and provinces of Afghanistan to force the United States and NATO to get out. So we, rather than seeing the error of our ways in Afghanistan, have decided to say, okay, the real problem is not that we can't defeat this insurgency here, but that we've got to, you know, go to its root base in Pakistan. It's not unlike, by the way, the earlier talk that the fight in Iraq was really being fostered by support from Iran, and so we had to crack down on Iran first, and you had a lot of the neocons saying we need to bomb bases in Iran. Remember that? It was mm-hmm. just a year ago.
Sure.
So the fact is that if we cross the border increasingly into Pakistan, we're putting huge pressure on the Pakistani military, which could break apart, which could make a coup d'etat, which could disintegrate into warring factions. You're going to exacerbate the fairly small and manageable Islamist forces inside Pakistan. You know, in the last election, the Islamists just got usually they get, you know, less than 10%, maybe around 5% of the vote. That could expand if the Islamists in Pakistan start arguing that, you know, they're the ones who are strong enough and tough enough to stand up to the United States. And so we're putting so much pressure on a fragile state, namely Pakistan, that it could break apart, it could disintegrate, a lot of bad and ugly things could happen.
And do you think if
we make this mistake?
At least near term, is it focused on trying to capture Osama before November 4th?
Well, I suppose, you know, that's possible, but it doesn't seem to me that we can capture or kill bin Laden. In fact, it isn't even clear that he's in that part of Pakistan. One of the surprising things which doesn't get mentioned is that a lot of the Taliban forces, including Mullah Omar, who's the leader of the Afghan Taliban, are not in the border regions, these tribal provinces in Pakistan at all. They're in Quetta, in Balochistan, which is far south and west of the area in question, and it's below Afghanistan.
Hmm.
And bin Laden could very well be there, too. Nobody really knows
mm-hmm.
Where he is. And if it were so easy to catch him, you know, to rig an election over here, I guess we would have done that, you know, during past elections.
And Bob, in your post, you describe the wink that Pakistani officials are using to try to decry the U.S. efforts, even though there may be some back-channel communications in advance. There's a wink on the other side, too. I think it was Dexter Filkins in the New York Times Sunday Magazine about 2 weeks ago talked about the way Pakistani operatives, jihadists, essentially, cross the border into Afghanistan, attack U.S. troops or Afghan positions, and then come back. And they go through Pakistani army checkpoints in both directions.
Yeah, well the border is porous, and there are many supporters of the jihadists among the Frontier Corps, which is the Pakistani units that guard that border. The Pakistani military proper doesn't particularly want to go in there because they're not well liked, and every time they go in, they get killed in large numbers, and some of them end up defecting. It's a very, very difficult problem, and I think it's wrong for the United States to think that it's a simple thing of Pakistan just flipping a switch and going in and controlling this area.
Yeah. Bob, we're out of time. Thank you very much. And I want people to go to thenation.com and read the Dreyfus Report. We'll talk to you again, Bob. Thank you.
Always. Thank you.
Good to talk to Bob Dreyfus, Robert Dreyfus, today.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hundreds of billions to bail out the credit markets.
We believe that this decisive government action is needed to preserve America's financial system and sustain America's overall economy.
All of that's just fine, but we've got to see some results. We've got to see action. It can't be just words.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. There's a real sense of urgency. President Bush, in a statement at the White House this morning, said we must act now to give the Treasury authority to intervene in the credit markets.
These measures will act as grease for the gears of our financial system, which were at risk of grinding to a halt.
He described the state of today's financial markets as precarious and said government action is essential, even though it will be very expensive.
These measures will require us to put a significant amount of taxpayer dollars on the line. This action does entail risk, but we expect that this money will eventually be paid back.
More from CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
The dramatic plan would have the government buy up those bad mortgages held by banks and other financial companies and just hold them until things calm down. Details of the plan are still being worked out, but Treasury Secretary Paulson says it will be very expensive.
We're talking hundreds of billions. This needs to be big enough to make a real difference and get at the heart of the problem.
Republicans are more skeptical than Democrats, but both pledge to work together to deal with what all agree is a real and dangerous crisis. Senate Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd says besides helping mortgage holders, it's got to help people facing foreclosure.
This problem began with a housing foreclosure issue. You cannot deal with the effects of this problem without dealing with the causes of it, and the causes still persist.
Leaders say they'll work through the weekend and hope to get a measure before Congress next week. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
They celebrated on Wall Street today. The Dow rose 368 points to finish the week at 11,388, just a fraction lower than where it started Monday morning. But analyst Hugh Johnson says the market is very fragile.
Confidence has been restored, but confidence is a very elusive thing. And if there's any sort of hitch along the way that we don't see this plan being put into place or executed, then that confidence can be lost real quickly.
Now this.
How to stop hyperventilating over energy bills. Step 1. Take the brown paper bag away from your mouth and proceed to the Home Depot for new air filters. Step 2. Notice the prices of many energy-saving items have been reduced throughout the store. Step 3. Change your air filters. Your furnace won't have to work so hard, and you'll save on your energy bill. Step 4. Breathe a long, contented sigh of relief.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Hi, I'm the owner of an auto body shop, and since we added Aflac to our benefits package at no direct cost to me, all my employees say the same thing. I want
Aflac.
Since we added Aflac, my whole business is running smooth.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Barack Obama says he supports broad authority for the Treasury to deal with the credit crisis.
And make sure that we are not using taxpayer dollars to bail out people who are making very bad decisions.
Obama told an audience at the University of Miami that he'll withhold his own economic plan until the dust settles. But now more than ever, he said, we have to have the broad-based middle-class tax cuts. John McCain, at a rally in Blaine, Minnesota, tried to tie Obama to the bad decisions that produced this mess.
The crisis on Wall Street, my friends, started in the Washington culture of lobbying and influence peddling, and he was right square in the middle of it.
McCain didn't address the rescue plan directly, but said the Federal Reserve should stop bailing out financial institutions and get back to managing the money supply and inflation. The price of crude oil shot up $6.50 today. Traders are betting that the bailout plan will boost the economy, but analyst John Kilduff says the other factor is the weakening dollar.
If the dollar continues to decline on the back of the recent announcements and the emerging bailout package, the oil will be pushed up.
In the long run, most experts think the price trend is downward. Today, oil settled in New York at $104.55 a barrel. Alaska Senator Ted Stevens, facing federal corruption charges, goes on trial in Washington next Monday. Stevens, the Senate's longest-serving Republican, is up for re-election. He insists he's innocent and plans to testify. General Motors is recalling more than 48,000 Saturn View compact SUVs. A leak of power steering fluid could cause a fire. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
It's time to choose a healthcare benefits and insurance plan. How do I
decide based on facts and my friends who are really happy with Aetna?
You're choosing the most admired insurance and managed care company according to Fortune magazine. And Aetna has one of the largest networks of physicians and dentists. So when it's time to choose a healthcare company,
an Aetna plan can help me
feel and stay healthier.
Talk to your employer or sign up at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health benefits and insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
You're a small business person, so you're the buyer, the seller, the bean counter, the chief cook, and the bottle washer. You know your best new business comes from your current customers. But what's the best way to reach them? ConstantContact.com, the easy, effective email marketing service. Constant Contact gives you professional online newsletters fast, without any technical skills. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial and plans as low as $15 a month. ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, beaming up and down the left coast from Big Sur in California, all the way north of the Canadian border. Shout out to our weekend listeners, Portland, Seattle, Missoula, and on Green 960 in San Francisco. Great to have you with us. This hour we get two views, the mortgage meltdown and the pending bailout from the Republicans. Has taken care of business after all. Bush himself said Wall Street got drunk. He was the bartender, and all the drinks were on the house. Later this hour, Mark Winston Griffith, who is a fellow at the Drum Major Institute in New York, will join us. But first,
Danny Schechter, the news dissector, is with us today.
I wish you were soft and smooth.
He comes complete with his own intro.
Carry no news of the world. Corporate America owns all the networks.
Freedom of the press is only guaranteed when you own the press.
Communication breakdown. Pause for the message. Wake up.
Danny Schechter is known as the news dissector, going back to Boston 30 years at the legendary WBCN. He worked at CNN. He worked at ABC. And for years now, he has been at MediaChannel.org, and he blogs every day there. I get his dispatches and read them. And we're going to talk about something that he's been on the cutting edge of, predicting the debt crisis that has led to the financial problems that we have in this country today. He produced a documentary about 2 years ago called In Debt We Trust. He's got a new book coming out called Plunder. Danny Schechter, welcome to the program today.
Hey, thank you very much. It's great to be back with you. I haven't spoken to you in a while.
It has been a while. Your colleague Rory O'Connor was on with us last week talking about his book Shock Jock and Jocks and his appearance on Bill Moyer's Journal last week. So we're in touch with your outfit. And also a little bit later, we're going to put out the word that Media Channel needs some help, and we don't think that Ben Bernanke is going to provide $1 billion for you at the Fed window.
Yeah, we were hoping for a bailout, but I don't think.
No, we'll get to that. But, Danny, first of all, sum up your work on debt issues and thesis in the documentary In Debt We Trust.
You know, in my film In Debt We Trust, we basically warned of this unsustainable debt load that all Americans are carrying, the way in which, you know, we've become dependent on credit cards and all kinds of other loans in order to survive. And I spotlighted subprime lending. I featured people right, left, and center who were saying this can't go on like this. There's going to be a breakdown. It could threaten our national security. And the reaction among some was, oh, my God, you're talking about me. Okay? People were identifying with the problems because we're all facing them. On the other hand, some of the journalists looked at this and said, you know, you're being an alarmist. The economy is doing great. How can you project all this gloom and doom? What's wrong with you, you know? Well, today we're all alarmed, aren't we, you know, by what's been happening and the uncertainty of what's going to happen next. So the film helped put the issue on the agenda, and then I began tracking and following what happened from before the meltdown in August 2007, the subprime meltdown. And I've been, you know, writing articles and essays and my blog and Huffington Post and, you know, Common Dreams and, you know, just a whole host of websites have carried my articles talking about the denial that many of us have had in dealing with this, the failure of progressives to tackle economic issues. You know, we much prefer identity politics. We much prefer bashing Republicans and looking at systems and institutions, and economics is, after all, the dismal science.
Well, and Danny, in the 1990s, the Clintons aligned with the Democratic Leadership Council and with Bob Rubin and other Wall Street advisors playing prominent roles. They turned the Democrats into the number two corporate party. And Barack Obama's accepted a lot of money from Wall Street interests, just to be fair and honest about this.
Hey.
Yep.
Absolutely the case.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is part of what my film showed, is how there was nonpartisan, if you will, consensus, or a bipartisan consensus on supporting the bankruptcy reform bill, which made it so much harder for people to discharge their debts. And even Senator Biden, you know, was supporting it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Barack Obama didn't, you know, so this is a, you know, a set of issues that many at the center of the Democratic Party, you know, were on the same side as many Republicans. And, you know, $151 million was spent lobbying on just the bankruptcy bill, and the credit card companies sort of, you know, basically wrote the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're in a situation where these special interests have in fact, wangled their way into the architecture of Congress and of Washington, and are extremely influential. And it's not just Democrats, not just Republicans who are the bad guys here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, however, what's happened now is even beyond the beyond, in a sense, because what we have now is a full system crisis and collapse. And that's why in the last few days, Hank Paulson, formerly of Jackson and Ben Bernanke, you know, have been scrambling to try to pump billions of dollars into our financial system to try to, you know, promote liquidity, and the markets have gone up because at least somebody's doing something. President Bush is, you know, the New York Times described him as a bit player in his own administration. He really had nothing to say. And basically the Treasury Department has sort of taken charge here, and they're coming up with a plan to try to discharge all these debts. The problem is that they're bailing out not the people who really need help the most, but the bankers.
You
know, it was interesting. The New York Times today carried this big headlines in the, you know, in the front of the paper, but in the back of the website where people commented, what you found was, you know, people characterizing this as the no banker left behind proposal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, others saying I'm absolutely outraged. Others saying, you know, lead parachutes for all of them. I mean, if you read these comments, you see that the public is completely freaking out about what the government is doing, because they are putting not only the burden on the taxpayers, but the debt on future generations, paying all this off. And this crisis, which was allowed to happen, encouraged to happen by the likes of Alan Greenspan, no regulation, no media scrutiny, really, and exposés. And the consequences of the situation got increasingly worse, to the point where banks collapsed, and now as many as 1,000 banks may be collapsing.
Well, and I don't want to write about
in this new book of mine called Plunder, mm-hmm. from Acosimo Press, and it's a book that really examines all this. It's available on Amazon and other online bookstores. You know, this is in essence trying to get this word out, and despite the fact that I've written 9 books, Peter, no major publisher would publish it. Because they were all saying you're exaggerating, you don't have the credentials to write about, you know, these issues. I mean, I was the reporter at ABC News who did the first primetime piece on this SNL crisis back in the 80s. So
yeah.
I went to the London School of Economics. I went to the Cornell Industrial and Labor Relations School. I think I know a little bit about it. But, you know, I investigated this, and what I found was shocking. Basically, the financialization of America, where big banks and credit card companies were basically dominating our entire economy, and just a handful of them. They were the command posts, and, you know, of course, their own greed not only brought down 3.5 million families facing foreclosure, but they brought themselves down, which is the first law of karma. You know, what goes around comes around, and that's what we're dealing with today.
Now, Danny, one of the things in between football games over the weekend, Secretary Paulson, who you talked about, and key leaders from Democratic and Republican in the Senate and the House will be trying to draft some legislation to bail out these subprime mortgages, but we do not know the extent of the problem. So how can they craft a response that is supposed to stabilize the markets and stanch the bleeding when we don't know the extent of the exposure?
Also, you know, the Resolution Trust Corporation, which this is modeled on,
right,
was formed because the U.S. was already on the hook via the FDIC, the people that insure bank deposits, for much of the problems and bad loans. This time the problem is much bigger in scale, and the loans and the derivatives much more complex. So, you know, nobody quite knows what this is about, partly because they were so clever and diabolical in creating these sort of securities in which they bundle these loans into structured investment vehicles and CDOs. They sliced and diced them, and so people were buying pieces of them. So, you know, your kitchen can be owned by somebody in Singapore, you know, and your playroom can be owned by somebody in Zurich. You know what I mean? It's completely confusing, and the banks themselves don't know. And in fact, when a bunch of people were facing foreclosure in Cleveland, 12, you know, big properties were under foreclosure. But, you know, basically the defense lawyer said, look, we agree that we've been late, you know, in our payments. And the other side said, yeah, you've been late for 18 months, you know. They said, but what we'd like to do is see the mortgage. You know, to establish that you really own these properties.
Right.
And they couldn't come up with it.
Yeah.
Because it's been sliced and diced. So the judge says, we'll come back when you get the mortgage. And basically the foreclosure. mortgages were stopped. But, you know, this is the problem here. The financial, gamesters became so slick that they outslick themselves.
Yeah, these MBAs can't unravel their own creations. Danny, we got to take a break. We'll return in just a moment.
Yeah, sure.
Danny Schechter is with us. He blogs at mediachannel.org. He is the producer and framer of the documentary In Debt We Trust, new book coming out called Plunder. Your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
And good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsberg with your KRXA 540 traffic report on Friday, September 19th. Lots of problems on Highway 101 southbound, starting in Hollister-Gilroy, right above Cochrane Road. We've got a metal pipe in the roadway, CHP en route. Also in that same area, another collision reported with lots of traffic. So you got to be very slow as you're coming southbound on 101 just north of Cochrane Road in Hollister-Gilroy area. In Chular, we've got a collision reported. No injuries, a big rig versus a van. And in Monterey County on Highway 101, just south of Route 183, we've got an individual on the right side of the highway changing a tire. and it's foggy there where it was, so you got to be real careful. On Highway 101 northbound at Dunbarton Road accent, we've got a collision with a Honda Accord and a Chevy Cameron, so be careful there. And a hazard on Highway 1 northbound at Fremont Street in Monterey City. Finally, a collision reported with an ambulance responding Freedom Boulevard at Corralitos Road in Santa Cruz. Enjoy your afternoon and enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show coming right up on KRXA5.
Follow my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond desert. And all around me, a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for dreams.
Danny Schechter with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Check out his blog. It's there on a daily basis at mediachannel.org. And Danny, I heard the Republican vice presidential pick, Sarah Palin, confide in Sean Hannity that they're planning strict and stringent oversight of the financial sector of this country. And just on a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being total BS, where do you track that kind of a threat?
You know, I think the Republicans now realize that they have to do this in order to restore confidence in the system. In other words, a lot of people who are conservative, you know, are also freaked out by this, and they're also, you know, realizing that, you know, that this whole thing could come down unless there are more stringent rules. So it's in their sort of self-interest to do it, to have more transparency, you know. They've looted so much already, you know, in order to keep what's left, they have to make certain concessions and compromises on all this. And certainly that's what people want to hear, that kind of rhetoric, whether or not they actually do it. One has to look at what they've actually done, and you'd have to say, fat chance, you know.
Now, is this the fulfillment of Grover Norquist's wet dream, which is to basically bankrupt the government so that there's no choice but to shrink it?
Yeah, that's what they may have started out doing, but now they're bankrupting the entire economy and the entire country. That's different, okay? That's much more serious, because that's bringing down, you know, through the ripple effect, smaller businesses as well, and creating economic pain across the country. I mean, in a sense, they've gone too far. They've been as incompetent at managing the economy as they have the war in Iraq and anything else they've attempted to do. So it's not surprising that their excesses, their greed, their corruption, you know, has led to this disaster that we're dealing with now. And it really is a disaster. That's what my book Plunder is about. I mean, this thing is really, really serious, and we have to get our heads around it, and we have to begin to think about a plan for economic justice. By the way, Peter, I'm also working on a song I'm going to send you. It's a remake of Home Sweet Home.
Mm-hmm.
Got a bunch of artists working on that. I think you'll like that.
Please do.
You know, an effort to try to dramatize the plight of people who are facing foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that should affect all of us. We need to care about this. We need to show some solidarity with the people who have been ripped off by these subprime scams that have taken place. You know, we don't only need bailouts. We need a jail out here. We need...
Yeah, you know, the president, for the first time in his comments Friday morning in the Rose Garden, paid lip service to the idea of finding the culprits here. But I haven't even heard Democrats. I think Chuck Schumer has a redemption moment here, where he could, instead of being the buddy of Wall Street, become the guy who calls for cleaning it up and holding accountable those who fleeced the public
when they do another kind of Watergate-style investigation, a serious investigation. You know, the FBI has already opened 1,400 cases, criminal cases. They've indicted 400 people so far.
Mm.
And, you know, I think we're going to see more of these indictments, because this is a criminal matter. Wall Street is a crime scene. It's not just the financial center. And, you know, none of our media has really focused on this aspect of it.
I agree. Yeah.
They've tended in these panels I've seen on CNN, you know, let's not play the blame game.
Right.
Let's if you go after the sinners, you're gonna go after the saints as well. So don't bother doing it.
Now, Danny, let me jump in here. Danny, we just
has to be challenged too.
Just about a minute remaining, and I want to turn to the future of mediachannel.org, because you lost a key funder about a week or two ago.
Right.
And tell me where things stand,
folks. We really need
need help in keeping our website alive. You know, we've been going for 9 years now, and we're looking for support at tax deductible donations for the Global Center at 575 8th Avenue, New York, New York 10018. Checks marked to Media Channel, and also you can make a donation online at mediachannel.org through PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
But we need help. We're not getting any bailouts, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
But we want to keep going and bring the kind of information to public attention that you just don't find anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, Danny, I wish you the best in that quest, and thank you for sounding the alarm about the debt crisis in America. You were on it before anybody else.
Thank you, Peter B.
All right, good to talk to you.
Okay, man, keep it going.
Danny Schechter, producer of In Debt We Trust, the film, and a new book due out soon called Plunder. Stand by. Coming up next, Mark Winston Griffith joins us, a fellow at the Drum Major Institute. We'll talk about the impact of this crisis on working families in America. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
They break it, we buy it. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. No more talk about the beauty of creative destruction. No more talk about the miracle of the free market. This is the day Wall Street's emperors woke up naked. You can't say it that way, of course.
America's economy is facing unprecedented challenges.
Yes. And our most urgent need now is not victory in Iraq. It's this.
For Congress to pass legislation approving the federal government's purchase of illiquid assets, such as troubled mortgages, from banks and other financial institutions.
Purchase of illiquid assets. Let's examine that phrase. I am holding an illiquid asset. This is a coupon good for 7 cents off on a box of Rice Krispies, which I've had since 1973. I frankly have given up on cashing it in, but now I believe the government will guarantee it. And not only that, we're going to start enforcing laws.
Rigorous enforcement actions to detect fraud and manipulation in the market. Anyone engaging in illegal financial transactions will be caught and persecuted.
Yeah, this time we're going to catch and persecute these people. I don't think even the ACLU will insist on applying the Geneva Convention this time.
The vast majority of assets the government is planning to purchase have good value over time, because the vast majority of homeowners continue to pay their mortgages.
Yes, unless they lose their jobs, which may happen if businesses can't get money, and if the government refuses to raise sufficient tax money to create jobs for projects like roads and bridges. But that gets into partisan territory.
This is no time for partisanship.
Right you are, sir. Now this.
If you ride a motorcycle, you might be thinking, oi, GEICO customers seem to be having a lot of fun and saving money on their car insurance. But what about us bikers? Why can't we save money? This makes us angry. Let's form a biker gang and go and tell them what for. Oi, hold on, just call it. GEICO insures all sorts of motorcycles, like cruisers, street, sport, touring and high performance bikes. So they're on it. Now let's have a little smile.
Now GEICO offers insurance on all the stuff that moves you, including motorcycles. Call 1-800-44-CYCLE or visit GEICO.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you. Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, getting more reaction to the Wall Street meltdown this week, the proposed bailout by the Bush administration of the corporate problems. Haven't heard much about bailing out Americans. Not even those whose homes are underwater. And I'm not talking about Galveston or Houston.
All the West is Sunday best. Mother's touching the rest. The kids are playing up their bed. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got the night to keep you coming around. Our house in the middle of our street. Our house.
Yes, Bush wants a bailout bill on his desk pronto, and he wants none of those pesky amendments for the little people. You know, no bailout for homeowners, no relief for people whose mortgages have dialed up, no extension of unemployment benefits, no additional food stamps, no, just a corporate bailout. It's frustrating. Mark Winston Griffith is a fellow at the Drum Major Institute in New York, an organization that focuses on the interests of working families in America. And before Sarah Palin or Rudy Giuliani can say it, I will. He's a community organizer. Mark, welcome to our program today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, it's really nice to talk with you. And what kind of communities have you organized?
Well, I live in central Brooklyn, specifically Crown Heights and the Bedford-Stuyvesant area of Brooklyn, and I've done a lot of different kind of organizing, racial justice, social justice, economic justice. Most recently, I started a organization that ended up creating a credit union for people who live and work and do business in the central Brooklyn area. So we created a financial cooperative in response to what we felt was systematic redlining and discrimination against people who live and work in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And you came out of Brown University. I used to send checks there. My son graduated about a year and a half ago.
Oh, okay. Well, I was well before him.
You're up on College Hill in the 80s, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Great. Well, I welcome you to the program today. It's really nice to talk with you. And I wanted to start off because I was touched by the choice of the editors at the New York Times. They, of course, gave front-page coverage to the proposed bailout, and that's still kind of fuzzy right now, but they gave lengthy coverage to it. But on the business page, they actually have a feature story here on the front page of business that jumps into the interior about the plight of a couple in Merced, California, whose home is worth less than their mortgage by a matter of almost $100,000.
Right.
And this is just one snapshot, but I'm pleased that the editors recognize that the problem here, it goes beyond Wall Street, and the impact affects average families all across the country. And, Mark, in Merced, in Modesto, the Central Valley of California, there is no market. There are no buyers. And so this family wanted to move because they took a job somewhere else, and they can't. They are trapped in their home. They went to their lender and said, gosh, we owe you $300,000. The house is worth about $220,000. And the lender initially said, well, we'll do a short sale. And then they said, but we want you to pay an extra $40,000 over the next 20 years so that you participate in the pain of our mistakes. And so I want to ask you what your thoughts are about how, as Congress is going to be on a very fast track here to try to develop this bailout legislation, what components should be in there to try to ease the pain of this crisis on average Americans?
Well, I think that I share some of the same frustration that you have already expressed. You know, many of us who have been involved in organizing advocacy efforts around economic justice broadly, but more specifically predatory lending, and, you know, have been really struggling against the foreclosure crisis that has been growing over the last couple of years, we've been saying all along that what we really need to do is address predatory lending and abusive subprime lending on a systematic scale, help people avoid disclosure, and create the kinds of regulation and oversight that would not only make sure that this kind of thing didn't happen again, but also hold the institutions that did abusive lending, hold them responsible. And, you know, a lot of people, and I would, this is not just conservatives, but I think, you know, sort of liberals and other people who think they're, you know, sort of doing the right thing have said, hold up, wait a minute, you know, why should we be putting this effort into helping homeowners who are reckless and who are greedy? Why should we help them out of their situation? And any kind of discussion of any kind of program that was paid for by tax dollars that would go towards helping these homeowners was entirely dismissed. And what many of us said back then is like, look, you know, you may think that this is, you know, your neighbor or someone down the street or someone you don't know, and that you can afford to not help this person because it's not going to affect you. But you know what? This is something that's sweeping across the country, and when it blows up, it's going to blow up in all of our faces. And so I think what we're seeing today is the chickens have indeed come home to roost. You know, sorry to use that overworn phrase.
Yeah, you know, Reverend Wright will be here in a minute to claim claim paternity on that one.
But, I mean, the point is that what the bailout entails is buying loans that are in distress to the tune of several, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars.
Don't you think it's going to approach a trillion? I mean, Paulson.
Well, I've heard that term, and I've heard that estimate. I'm just being conservative at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what we're saying is that this not only could this have been averted, okay, we're at the situation now, and if you are talking about buying these loans, at the very least what you have to do is start addressing again the issue of foreclosure and predatory lending. That is, we need a national anti-predatory lending bill, and we need some foreclosure prevention that has gone beyond most recent efforts. I mean, the most recent bill that was signed by Congress is only supposed to help at the most 400,000 people.
Right.
And right now you have somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.5 million people who are in foreclosure. You know, the problem needs to be addressed on a wider scale. And the thing is this: if you help out these people, if you help them modify their loans, if you help them avoid disclosure, then it will result in less bad loans that you have to pay on the back end. So in investing in these homeowners, you are in fact investing in the welfare of the entire nation, and will take money out of the pockets of taxpayers far less than you plan to do now.
You will also preserve property values neighborhood by neighborhood.
Exactly.
And that's the ripple effect risk here, is that
exactly.
In some of these subdivisions that are 40-50% vacant,
exactly.
the crack houses and meth houses can develop, all kinds of squatters, and this clearly can bring down the comps that assess the value of my house. And so
exactly.
we have to look at this in a systemic way. And so far, they are addressing the corporate interests
exactly.
and bailing them out, but not average people. Let's take a phone call. David in San Francisco, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for tuning in on Green 960.
Yeah, hi, Peter. A couple of different things on this. One thing that we could do even quicker than almost snap of the finger is if you look at the savings and loans crooks, what Bush did to building up to it was to fire the bank examiners. He fired the savings and loans examiners. He fired the SEC examiners. And so it didn't matter what the laws were. they fired the investigators, so that there's plenty of data sitting there, plenty of evidence sitting there. There are just no investigators out there who are on staff to be able to go through all of this mountain of records. So the laws still exist. It's simply a matter of making sure that the investigators are hired back quickly and that they go through this evidence, and hypothetically before Election Day, so we can make some wise decisions. But just a side note, if you look at what Bush said on the White House lawn this morning, give me some money. Give me $1 trillion by Tuesday. Give me some money. Give me some money.
And don't put any of those pesky liberal programs on there with it. No more stimulus, and as I gave you the list, no unemployment extension, no support for people who are going to pay higher heating oil prices this winter in the Northeast. Nothing. No, it's just a bailout for corporate America. Get that straight, and everything's going to be okay.
Sure. Well, you know, if you look at it, what he's saying also is that we are, of course, the collateral. Where's he going to get this money? From us. We are the collateral for stupid moves. So if we continue to be suckers, then we're going to get taken many, 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 many more times. They're never going to quit coming back, just like the this grade school bully. So this whole idea of the international exchange rates on America dropping, America is dropping in the world because we look like such utter idiots. And the fact that we, this guy comes on TV this morning, give me some money, in 2 days, $1 trillion, and we act like that's normal, that makes us look like idiots. So, again, the solution is to get those bank examiners, the SNL examiners, the various security exchange examiners back into positions, and we can find out exactly what happens, and you'd be surprised how much change will happen then.
Thank you, David. Well, earlier this hour, Danny Schechter told us, and it was news to me, that the FBI has more than 400 active cases of fraud or related violations of the law related to financial services, and I think we need a very robust investigation into what went wrong. And there was the president earlier today on Friday saying, this is not the time to examine how we got here. No, that would be too embarrassing to Bush and his cronies. But Mark Winston Griffith, don't you think that at least fundamentally we've got to identify the root causes here before and identify the extent of the damage before we can put together any kind of a meaningful recovery package?
I think so, because everything that's being discussed as quote-unquote solutions does not, as you mentioned before, really address the root causes of the problem. And, I agree with the caller on one level, that is, there is regulation and oversight that has not been conducted. By the same token, much of what has happened over the last few years really has been done under the light of day, has been done with the blessing of our federal regulators. And while there is quite a bit of fraud that has been documented, the real tragedy of this is as much of this has happened quite legally. In order to deal with, as you say, some of the fundamental aspects of this, we need to look at what occurred, what happened on this president and other presidents' watch. And it really comes down to, people talk about the greed of Wall Street or the greed of homeowners. That's what regulation is there for. Regulation is there to mitigate, to control for corporate greed, or even for, individual greed. It's there to draw a bright line around what you can and cannot do. And what many of us are saying is that those bright lines have not been drawn. And it's been a total feeding frenzy. And, the only way to address this problem fundamentally is to systematically change the conditions under which it happened in the first place.
Well, and Mark, there was this collusive environment where you would go into a lender. They'd say, we can give you a no-doc loan. We can give you 110% of the purchase price, so you can add a hot tub to this house you're buying. And who's going to look at him and say, oh, no, I'm not qualified for that. Oh, no, I can't afford that. Because everybody was drinking the Kool-Aid and believing that house prices couldn't go down substantially.
Well, but not only that, but the bottom line is when you're a borrower, it is not your job to do the underwriting.
That's right.
You go there, you file your application, and look, I know this because I used to run a financial institution. I used to underwrite loans. I used to sit on the loan committee. And at the end of the day, it's not the borrower who's making the decision as to whether or not they get the loan.
Yeah.
It's your decision. And so the fault lies with the underwriters, not just the underwriters, but the underwriting standards that have been so loose, and the federal and state regulators who have allowed it to be such.
We're talking with Mark Winston Griffith. He is a fellow at the Drum Major Institute in New York. Your calls are welcome here at 888-5 Peter B, the Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket.
You're listening
no
to the new KRXA 540.
Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout, we'll all feel better in the morning.
Lots of problems to tell you about on the roadways in this 4 o'clock hour, Friday, September 19th. I'm Hal Ginsberg with your KRXA 540 traffic report. Starting in Santa Cruz County on Highway 1 southbound, just north of Park Avenue, we have a pedestrian on the roadway. On East Madonna Inn at the intersection with State Road 152, slow-moving vehicle reported. At Madison Lane and Chanticleer Avenue, traffic hazard with no other details at this time. A collision is reported at Graham Hill Road and Mount Hermon Road in Santa Cruz County. Ambulance is responding to that. And we still have on the board at Freedom Boulevard and Coralitas Road a collision. Ambulance still responding to that problem there. Moving south to Monterey County on Highway 101 northbound at Route 183, we've got a collision. No other details. Also, northbound 1 at Fremont Street in Monterey, we've got a hazard reported. On Highway 101 southbound, just south of Route 183, we've got a hazard reported. Enjoy your afternoon. Drive carefully out there and enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests, and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. Or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
9 p.m. Saturdays, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people. Quantum minds find the relevance in all of God's creation. Join us with notable guests, Admiral Hyman G. Rickover, father of American nuclear navy, Albert Einstein, Robert John Kennedy, from the perspective of the quantum mind. The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Link, Saturday, 9 p.m. on KRXA 540.
And here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and let's stroll over to the Fed window and get our piece of the bailout. I'd say $1 billion. That'll get me through the rest of the year. Retire a few debts. Forgive a few loans. We're talking with Mark Winston Griffith, a fellow at the Drum Major Institute, trying to focus on the impact of this meltdown on working families. And, Mark, as I look at this, I'm thinking of the wet dreams of Grover Norquist. I'm thinking of the theories of Naomi Klein in her book Shock Doctrine about disaster capitalism. And this really will benefit the wealthy. The transfer of wealth that can come from this is something that won't trickle down to you and me. But certainly the captains of industry who've been riding these waves are, you know, like Mozilla from Countrywide. He's holding on to tens of millions of dollars that he earned while he worked there and as he parachuted out. And so as I look at this, Mark, my concern is that there goes universal health care, because this government will not have the money, even if there is an Obama administration next year, to fund the cost of important domestic programs.
Sure. No, you're absolutely right. It's, you know, the next president will come in with all these great ideas and it'll be surprised you've got no money to work with. I mean, you know, we were already facing a pretty huge national debt. Now it's the hole will be so deep that it will take us another generation to dig out of it. So I very much agree. I mean, we're working against the best interests of ordinary Americans, and what's really kind of shocking is that many of these decisions are being made by one man or one institution, the Federal Reserve. He made some kind of crack the other day that, you know, he's got $800 billion, $900 billion in his pocket to work with. You know, those are our dollars, and I think that we should have much more to say about it than we have had up to now.
Mm-hmm. I want you to talk to one of my callers and a stalwart listener. This is Ben in Salinas. And Ben has been talking about the looting of our treasury for several years now, and a couple of years back people thought he was kind of crazy. Ben, you're becoming more and more rational every day. Welcome.
Thank you, Peter. Shock and awe. Number one was the stealing of the election in 2000. Shock and awe two was the events of 9/11. Shock and awe three was the invasion of Iraq on March 19th of 2003. And what we're going through right now is shock and awe four. The criminality is there. Alan Greenspan knew what this phony war budget was going to do. He knew every step of the way, and the man never said a word. However, in his speech the other day, he said the projected payoff for this is, the way he sees it, is $3.2 trillion, and he says, and it could go as high as $10 trillion. That's Alan Greenspan, the guy that knows where the bodies are buried.
And Ben, pause just a second here, because it's interesting in the exchanges this week. The McCain campaign was attacking Barack Obama because he did describe this in honest terms about just how historically negative these problems are, and it is a real low point in recent American history. And McCain fired back, you know, that Obama is in the pocket of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. He's one of 350 legislators who took campaign contributions from them, but he's singled out for blame. And, you know, he is trying to make it seemed like Obama is talking doom and gloom instead of speaking reality. And it's Greenspan who gave the honest assessment. Well, that's a good idea, too.
Even Bernanke, the present guy, he may not get as much guilt, but these guys all know each other. Alan Greenspan knows exactly what this war was going to cost. He knew how to hollow out the Social Security Trust Fund while making it look flush, backed by the full face and credit of the United States. Here's my problem of the day. There's a lot of rampant criminality and treason in these boards of directors and CEOs. Before any of them gets a dime, let the fraud investigations begin. Get an attorney general with some teeth, and then when you have indicted these people and seized their assets to be replenished to the government that they stole it from, then you go on with the buyout. But you don't buy out right now. They're replenishing the CEOs on the parachutes, and the janitor is still going to be in the food line.
All right, Ben. Thank you very much. Mark, any comment?
pretty much speaks for itself. So.
Yeah, I mean, Ben is on the ball. He's very passionate about these issues, and I appreciate the passion that he does bring to them. Now, as you look at this, what can we do as progressives and people who care about the working families in this country to try to make sure that the bailout bill that's being fashioned this weekend has something besides just the corporate bailouts?
Well, you know the answer to that. It's just, it's make some noise. As a community organizer, you know that the only time, you know, power is going to respond is that when you just make it untenable for them not to. So I just think that we need to be calling our senators, our congresspeople, and making sure that, you know, that there is some actual redistribution of wealth, that it comes back into the hands of ordinary Americans, and that when we talk about how do we right this economy, we do it not on the backs of homeowners and of taxpayers, but that we give homeowners a chance to actually be made whole and to contribute to this economy, so that they're not as many bad loans that actually have to be bought. I don't think anyone is asking for what these corporations have received, which is a handout, but just some assistance in making sure they can be made whole. They can do right by their loans.
All right, Mark Winston Griffith. He's a fellow at the Drum Major Institute. Great to meet you. Thanks for joining me today.
Great to meet you.
I'm Peter B. Collins. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill, and Nick Tanum is taking your calls today.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest-growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. At the closing bell on Wall Street, after a very wild ride this week, the stock market was just about back to where it started on Monday. The Dow up 368 points to 11,388, the NASDAQ 74 points higher at 2273. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says the rally was inspired by strong indications from Washington that a bailout for the credit markets is in the cards.
This is exactly what Wall Street has been hoping for weeks now. Traders are finally seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. Instead of waiting for the next shoe to drop to find out which bank is going to go under next and whether or not there's going to be a safety net, the government is trying to come up with a series of plans that together will mean a permanent fix to this financial crisis.
The centerpiece is a plan to buy up bad debt from the books of banks and some other financial institutions. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson says it will cost hundreds of billions of dollars, but at least some of it will eventually be paid back. WCBS Radio's Ginny Cassola talked to traders at the New York Stock Exchange.
I have never, I've been here 30 years, never seen such a crazy week.
Alan Valdez, head of floor trading for Hilliard Lyons, is relieved to see this weekend.
It was the feeling, not only here on Wall Street, but on Main Street. I mean, I went home and people would say, hey, are my money markets safe? Should I bail out? What should I do with my cash? So it's beginning to spread, and you felt that.
Not only did the market turn around, so did the mood of traders. Some even sang happy birthday to a colleague. Ginny Cosola, CBS News at the New York Stock Exchange.
The prospect of a bailout weakened the dollar, and that in turn contributed to a jump in the price of crude oil today. It jumped $6.50 to $104.55 a barrel. Analyst John Kilduff says the recent run-up is going to be a spoiler for drivers.
Those price increases are still working their way through the system, so consumers should brace for higher prices at the pump.
That's on top of the price hikes due to refinery shutdowns in Texas. It's been a week now since Hurricane Ike hit the northern Gulf coast of Texas.
I'm August Skamenka in Houston.
Basically, right now it's a demilitarized zone.
Energy analyst Ted Harper talking about Galveston. And just because Houston wasn't totally ravaged like it was, the markets are hurting.
Net-net, I mean, we still have roughly 96% of oil production in the Gulf of Mexico shut in, another 82% or so of natural gas production shut in.
Harper says he expects in some instances it will be days, if not weeks, before Gulf oil production reaches normal levels.
That's about the same timeline for life to return to normal. Utilities say 1.5 million customers are still without power. More than 20,000 people are still living in shelters, and authorities say it'll be another week before residents of Galveston Island can return. The price of gold dropped $32 an ounce today. It finished the week at $860 an ounce. This is CBS News.
Despite the current economy, you can still drive a safe, luxurious, well-engineered car. Because right now, Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned sales event with deals as low as 1.99% APR on select CPO vehicles that have undergone a rigorous 155-point inspection. So you know you're getting a true 100% Mercedes-Benz at a price you can afford. See your authorized dealer today for certified affordability. But hurry, our CPO sales event ends September 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month for $1,000 financed on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contract subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial participating dealers through September 30, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
If you recently bought a Saturn View compact SUV, you might be getting a recall notice soon. Jeff Gilbert of Detroit station WWJ explains.
The problem is with a nut connecting the power steering pump and line. GM spokesman Tom Wilkinson says it could come loose, causing a fluid leak.
As with any underhood fluid leak, there's some risk of a fire.
There have been no reports of injuries or accidents. This recall only affects 08 and 09 Saturn Views with six-cylinder engines. Wilkinson says recall notices will be sent out, but customers who notice fuel leaks should contact their dealer right away. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Miller Coors has delayed the debut of a caffeinated alcoholic energy drink called Sparks Red. It was scheduled to hit the market October 1st, but this week the attorneys general of 25 states objected. Connecticut's Richard Blumenthal said adding caffeine to alcohol reduces the drinker's sense of intoxication. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
How to stop hyperventilating over energy bills. Step 1. Take the brown paper bag away from your mouth and proceed to the Home Depot for new air filters. Step 2. Notice the prices of many energy-saving items have been reduced throughout the store. Step 3. Change your air filters. Your furnace won't have to work so hard, and you'll save on your energy bill. Step 4. Breathe a long, contented sigh of relief.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Hi, I'm the owner of an auto body shop, and since we added Aflac to our benefits package at no direct cost to me, all my employees say the same thing. I want
Aflac.
Since we added Aflac, my whole business is running smooth.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, our third hour of the day, devoted to election protection. We've got an election November 4th. And it's kind of unprotected. Condoms, anyone?
Thunder calling to the faraway town. Now war is declared and battle come down. Thunder calling to the underworld. Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. Thunder calling, now don't be
union is putting the tiles. London calling, see we ain't got no swing except for the rain and the crunch of pain. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is going in. Engines stuck on it, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning out.
Every week we set aside this hour to talk about election issues, and our go-to guy is citizen journalist Brad Friedman. He operates bradblog.com, focuses on election issues and more. Brad, how you doing today?
I'm hanging in there. Yourself?
About the same. I mean, it's a topsy-turvy world, and I feel a little bit poorer this week, just like every American, and I guess it's going to get worse. We should get comfortable with our poverty, is that right?
Well, it may be the case. Yeah, I, we'll see. It bounced back. I haven't even been able to watch it today. I've been working on a deadline, but we've got a mess. I guess it's what happens when you don't pay attention to anything for about 8 years in a row, and that's what's happening. And the same thing's happening, frankly, in these elections, where all of a sudden now people are deciding to pay attention, realizing that, Houston, we may have a problem here. And so, I'm glad to see, as usual, media jumping in, but you got to wonder how much is too late.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true with the Democrats, finally jumping in a little bit here and there. But again, is it going to be too little, too late?
Right. Well, to set us up for this hour, I want to thank Jay, Hebert, H-E-B-E-R-T. He listens online from Bethel, Connecticut. And he realizes that I'm a softie for bumper music. And he sent in a song that I really love. Richie Havens is a treasure. He's still around playing his guitar. And this is a song that has a few lyrics in it, if you listen carefully, about the scene in America today and elections in particular. It's called Nobody Left to Crown. Correction, he says.
Worried about what kind of correction.
As it stands, we don't even make the selection.
As it stands, we don't make the selection. That's Richie Havens, and I believe that was recorded about 1973 or 74, back in the hangover days of the Nixon era.
Yeah.
So it's very prescient.
Well, I'll tell you, that's still one of the things that Democrats are worried about, I think foolishly so, but they're still worried about having an election where nobody comes if they, talk about the concerns with our electoral system out loud, to the public. And
right.
I just think that's an insane way to proceed, but they have been proceeding that way for so long. And
well, and it's insulting and condescending because it assumes that we don't know that there are problems with our elections, that we don't care that it was hijacked in 2000 and 2004, and we know that many lesser elections than the presidential races have been manipulated or stolen. Don Siegelman in Alabama, Max Cleland in Georgia. We've got the itty-bitty election there in Pima County, Arizona, that was for a regional transit tax that is highly suspect, and so we really are looking at this, and for our political leaders to say, oh, don't touch that, don't talk about it, you'll just discourage people from voting, I think that's already happened.
Well, yeah, and it's if you talk about it, then you can respond to those concerns. I was guest hosting a show out here on Pacifica earlier this week, and this was a question that came up. A couple of callers wondered, well, Brad, if it's so bad as you say it is, why should I bother to vote? Now, it seems to me the common sense that, If you don't vote, they don't need to steal your vote. You're giving it to them. You know, there are things you can do. There are ways to get out there and fight and to fight to have your vote counted. And believe me, as you well know, Peter, you know, our fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers before them, you know, had to put a hell of a lot more on the line to assure the vote in this country than we do. So when I call on folks, you know, to go out to be a poll worker, to be a poll watcher, an observer, to make sure, just to be a poll helper and, you know, bring water, pizza, and chairs to some of these people who are going to have to sit in line this year, and I'm afraid we're going to see something terrible all over the country just like that, you know, if that's what it takes is a couple of days to ensure or at least to fight to ensure that our vote gets counted, I think that's well worth it. And I think when you talk about these things, it makes people, you know, say out loud, well, you know, why should I vote? Well, you know, will it be counted? And we can respond, you know, by saying, yeah, why would you want to give it to them? Mm-hmm. You know, if they're going to steal it from you, make them steal it from you. And then let's catch them in the bargain and throw them in jail.
So we do have some activity. John Conyers, who hails from Michigan and chairs the House Judiciary Committee, has piped up. And also the Obama campaign has some lawyers who appear to be ready to file legal action in Michigan. And what's this all about, Brent?
Yeah, in fact, they have filed legal action up in Michigan. An extraordinary story. Last week, the GOP chairman of the Macomb County, Michigan Republican Party actually admitted, I don't know what he was thinking, but he admitted to a reporter that they were planning on taking foreclosure lists, folks who had their homes foreclosed, and using those to challenge people at the polling places to keep them from voting. Of course, and we may have talked about it a little bit last week, that is illegal on all kinds of levels, not to mention the fact that, you know, a lot of these people actually still have their homes. And even if they don't, in Michigan, as I understand the law, you're able to vote as registered from your previous residence, mm-hmm. if, in fact, you have been kicked out. But it just, you know, that's one small example. We're also getting word now that they're planning on doing that in Ohio as well. Interestingly enough, after this report ran in this Michigan media outlet, the fellow James Carabelli, he's the jerk who said he was going to use foreclosure lists, he said, oh, I never said that. The reporter got it completely wrong. And another GOP spokesman then, you know, was asked in the same article, well, if not foreclosure lists, do you guys plan on using caging lists to exclude voters? And he said, oh, well, yeah, we'll be doing that. We've done that for many years. We'll be doing it again this year. So he out and out admitted that that's what they're planning to do. This is Macomb County, Michigan. Michigan is, you know, in 2004, I think it was very close. I think it was 100,000 votes or something separated. Mm-hmm. Kerry won that state in 2004, but not by a lot of votes. So these things matter, and if they're talking about doing them in Michigan and in Ohio, and we're seeing you know, similar schemes in other states, some caging letters in Florida from the McCain campaign, you know, it's game on with these guys in their war against democracy, and the Democrats better step up, realize the war that they're in, and start pushing back. They were pushing back a little bit this week in Michigan. They filed an injunction to keep them from being able to use injunction foreclosure lists up there. And Conyers was, well, he was pretty much hopping mad today when he issued this release, called on Mukasey at the DOJ for a complete investigation of this matter. And he will be holding hearings, I think next week on this mm-hmm. issue in the U.S. House Judiciary Committee.
All right. And the Florida case, is that any different from what's going on in Michigan? Is it aimed at foreclosures or at other vulnerable voters?
No, well, there's two different issues going on in Florida. One, we've got reports in four different counties that you remember the spate of mailers that showed up last week in Wisconsin, North Carolina, Ohio, a ton of states. Now, a lot of those mailers, what they were from the John McCain campaign. They were telling people, and they were sent to both Republicans and Democrats, telling them to use this postcard to request your absentee ballot mailer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of them, while they were aggressive, they didn't seem to be illegal. They did, however, have incorrect information. For example, a voter in Madison, her postcard was pre-addressed to the town clerk of
the suburb Mayville. Where she used to live, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, to a different county. Mm-hmm. Now, I talked to the Mayville city clerk. She said she's only gotten one of those, but they will be forwarding all of those on to the correct county, or in Wisconsin, it's actually townships. So down in North Carolina, the McCain campaign did not tell voters to include their birth date and phone number, which is needed for absentee ballot requests. That's going to disenfranchise Republicans because those were aimed at Republicans down there in North Carolina. So they were real sloppy at best. They didn't seem evil. They were aggressive, sloppy, but not necessarily evil. On the other hand now, these mailers that have showed up in Florida include the infamous do not forward on the front.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a telltale sign of a caging letter. The other ones, if the person was not at that address, then the post office would just essentially throw away the postcards. In this case, in Florida, with the do not forward on it, that means they may end up sending those back to the GOP if, in fact, the recipient doesn't take it, doesn't live there anymore, and those could then be used in Florida for caging.
Mm-hmm.
Which is challenges at the polls. And then the other thing they're doing in Florida is they've just announced they're instituting this full match where Bradley Friedman, a registered voter, could not vote if it said Brad Friedman on my driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
So the war is on, Peter.
Yeah, it sure is. We're going to take a break and continue with Brad Friedman. We'll go to the phones in the next segment. So if you have a question or comment about election issues, we want to hear it. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372. And later this hour, we're going to meet Patty Sheriff. She is the producer of a new film called Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies, which chronicles the sleuthing efforts of reporter Brad Friedman in checking out the claims of Clint Curtis in Florida about his story of election fraud. That's coming up here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I'm Todd Hornick, candidate for Monterey Superior Court Judge. As a Monterey prosecutor, I have worked locally to protect the safety of our community since 1994, and I will continue to do so as your next Superior Court judge. I am proud to ask you to join me, along with Monterey County mayors, councilmen, firefighters, labor unions, gang enforcement officers, bailiffs, and investigators, in selecting local experience for our local courts. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibrations Radio is moving from Sundays to Saturdays on September 13th.
From 7 to 9 p.m.
You'll have more everyday alchemy.
Change your vibrations and change your life.
Good Vibrations, Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsberg with your KRXA 540 traffic report. Things are calming down out there, and this is our penultimate update for the week. And we have a hazard on Highway 101 northbound at County Road 14 in King City. Also a hazard on San Juan Hollister Road just east of Highway 156 in the Hollister-Gilroy area. Staying in Hollister-Gilroy, collision with an ambulance responding at the intersection of Union Road at Union Heights Drive. And finally, still have slow going in Santa Cruz County at the intersection of Madison Lane and Chanticleer Avenue. Beautiful day outside, ranging from 70s along the coast to 81 in King City. Enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show coming right up on AM 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I get a constant signal when I call you on the phone.
Well, that's not true. There are two lines open right now. 888-5 Peter B. There goes young Bob Cray, and that's called Smoking Gun. We're talking with, of course, Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, and we're joined by Jennifer from Eureka. Hello, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B.
Hello.
I'm calling because... Your listeners are the base, and we've heard a lot about how Sarah Palin is galvanizing, you know, the Republican base, mm-hmm. but we are the Democratic base, and so we have to get active, and just to make sure your listeners are going to Obama.com and logging on, getting accounts, and getting hooked up with their local Obama campaigns, phone banking, traveling to swing states, if you're not in a swing state, all that stuff you can get hooked in through on Obama.com.
Okay.
Hey, Jennifer, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Are you actually working with them, or are you just helping out volunteering?
I'm just a volunteer. I've volunteered to be the travel coordinator for Humboldt County, so I'm going to be coordinating people traveling to Nevada, Reno.
Well, you know, I wanted to get a representative from the Obama campaign or the DNC earlier this week when I was doing an election protection show to ask them just what the hell they're doing about election protection. I sure would love to know because they sort of seem to be asleep at the switch. And with all the folks who are going to be turning out and volunteering for Obama, I'm delighted to see that. But I sure would feel better if I heard that the Obama team really understood the threat that's going on to our democracy and that they were on top of it.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I wouldn't have any idea how to contact any of those people and what they're thinking about because I'm not hearing about it from this level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but my hope is that we can get enough people out there so we can overcome any margin.
The margin of graft.
Yeah.
That's my line. Well, Jennifer, I appreciate your activism. You made a lot of good points here. And the other thing I would add to your list is that a week from tonight, Friday, next Friday, is the first Democratic debate. And I'm sorry, the first presidential debate. And I think that it's a good time to gather people around your flat-screen TV or your old-fashioned TV, whatever you got, and make sure that people are involved, engaged, and paying attention.
And there's events to watch the debate on. You can go on your Obama.com website. You know, you can find out where these events are and get together with people and find out what's going on in your area or host an event yourself.
All right, Jennifer. Thanks for rallying the base.
I'm going to try to keep calling you and encourage people to do that and giving you updates on what's going on at this level.
You please do. I'll take your calls, okay?
Thanks.
All right. Ed in Aptos, listening on KRXA. Hello, Ed.
Yeah, I want to follow up with Jennifer. I was just wondering if Brad actually had a contact at the Obama campaign.
Not a good enough one.
Not a good enough one.
I've got a lot of contacts at the DNC, but...
I get emails from a guy named David Plouffe.
Yeah.
Of course, if I respond to it, it probably goes to a server somewhere.
Yeah, and no, they have not been real responsive on this issue, and it's quite disturbing, and I wish folks would raise holy hell with them about them every time they ask for money. Say, we'll give you money when you sign this standingforvoters.org pledge that you will not concede this election until every vote is counted and counted accurately.
And following up on that is, if somebody would volunteer to be a poll watcher, how long would it take to train somebody?
You know, I think it's different in every county that you're in. I think basically it's like a two-three-hour training session. You have to check with your county as far as what they do. And then there are different levels of poll watchers, poll inspectors, et cetera. So depending on the time you have, that's the way you go about it. For being a poll watcher instead of a poll worker, you would go through the parties, Democratic or Republican or Libertarian, Green, whatever parties, to volunteer to be a poll observer in that sense.
And two more points, Peter. One has to do with Brad, and one is kind of independent.
Okay, 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, one thing is if the Republicans are going to ever have their ox gored and have them get screwed at the ballot box like we've been over these past years, where they'll want to go to paper ballots, too, and get rid of the electronic voting.
Mm-hmm.
And second one is donate $10 to Planned Parenthood and then send your congratulations to Sarah. I don't know where it is, but you can do that. I don't know if you've heard about it, but
all right, thank you, Ed.
$10 to Planned Parenthood.
Gotta run to a break. More with Brad Friedman next here on the PBC show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
So I got married, I just got married like a year out ago because, well, thank you very much. Yeah, still kind of new. They said, you'll know when it's right. That's what they always say. You know, I did, well, how come you never got married? I never wanted to get married. Well, you know when it's right. That's what they always said. And this is right. This woman, it was right. And they said, well, how'd you know it was right? I said, well, she owns her own house in the Bay Area. And, right? 6.3% fixed on a 30-year loan, huh? Look at the figure on that woman. That woman has got some equity, I'm here to tell you. Because my wife and I don't want to bring it down. My wife and I just recently realized, we discovered that we can't have children, and it's not a medical thing. We hate the little bastards, quite frankly. And, yeah.
That's Johnny Steele. I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from planetcruise.org.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
1, 2, 3, my baby don't mess around me, she loves me so.
The Peter B. Collins Show, the lefty talk show you can dance to. Go on, shake it like a Polaroid picture. We did learn from a listener you can no longer acquire Polaroid film. You'll just have to fake it when you shake it. We continue our election protection, election integrity hour with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And in a moment, we're going to meet the filmmaker who's put together this powerful new documentary that actually features Brad. But first, we got a couple of callers dangling here, and Dave is out there at his weekly protest in Eureka, if I have it right. Dave, are you there?
That's right. It's that Friday in front of the courthouse with the Vets for Peace. But, Brad, I think you said it completely adequately last week when you pointed out that it was demonstrated to you that the tech cons could rig any number of machines in a matter of minutes, perhaps seconds. So we know, I certainly know, that they haven't acquired any new character or conscience or restraint since the last election. Our democracy is in serious peril. We have to take drastic steps, as I see it.
All right. What drastic steps would you suggest, Dave?
I think the voting machines should be thrown into the bay as a protest. And
that's unfair to the fish, but okay.
Right on.
All right. Dave, thank you very much, and let's get a comment from Brad on that. Brad, what kind of actions can we take about the machines and about the process that we cannot have full confidence in?
Well, I mean, there's not a lot that we can do now in regard to changing the machines at this late date, but, you know, you've got to check where you live, what the rules are. You know, Pennsylvania is a perfect example where the and that's run by Democrats, by the way. The Secretary of State there has said that they will only put give paper ballots away to voters if all of the machines break down in a particular precinct. And they use pretty much all touchscreens out there across Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, and that is obviously a very important swing state. That's one of the reasons I asked Jennifer about, you know, what the hell Obama is planning to do about this. Frankly, they need to be in Pennsylvania right now demanding that any voter who wants a paper ballot can get one. And if I lived in Pennsylvania, I'd be out there yelling and screaming day and night at that county registrar's office or whatever you have to do in order to demand that they make those paper ballots available. So people need to learn, you know, what their rights are, what the rules are. Out in California, you get a paper ballot if you want one. People need to know that, but the steps you take in each particular place are going to depend on the, 4,000 or so different sets of rules that we have, county by county and state by state in this country. But there is stuff to do, and yes, pushing your candidates to sign the standingforvoters.org pledge, requiring them to not concede until they have assured that every vote has been counted, and that there are nothing, no challenges or questions about the election. Those actions are important, and it is up to the people to do it. Bob Kohler of the Tribune Media Services wrote a great column this week speaking exactly to that, and I'll just give you the last line of his column. He says, America has to rouse itself and rise to the challenge of this election season because power doesn't bow to principle unless it has to, unless principle itself has a power base. We are that power base for principle, and we need to start standing up for it.
Mm, very well put. And here's a follow-up. An email just came in from Richard, and he was listening when Ed called in a few minutes ago. And you can go to the Planned Parenthood website and make a contribution in honor of Sarah Palin. He says, be sure that you choose the pull-down of donate-honorary or memorial donations, not the regular donate online. And we will post the link at the Planned Parenthood website. It's too complicated to read on the air and expect anybody to grab it. And also the McCain for President address where you can send the note that the donation was made in Governor Palin's honor. So if that's something you want to do, we'll enable that, and we'll put it up on the webpage at the at peterbcollins.com, referring to today's show, and you can proceed with that if you would like. And we've got Nancy in Winters who's got a quick reminder for us. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, I just wanted to give a reminder to people about the Teach Peace dinner this Sunday night at 6 o'clock. You can go to teachpeace.com to get the information. We're going to be bringing peacemakers together and honoring peacemakers who've done a lot of work working toward peace, and one of whom is Mr. Peter B. Collins.
Well, I will. The humble host will be there to accept.
Well, we look forward to seeing you.
Looking forward to seeing you, Nancy, and thank you for mentioning
sure.
that.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Okay. Now we're joined by Patty. Do we say Sheriff or Sheriff?
Sheriff.
Sheriff. Patty, welcome to our program
hey,
today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Peter.
And you are the filmmaker who put together Murder Spies and Voting Lies.
I am.
Starring Brad Friedman.
And a fellow by the name of Clint Curtis, who shows up from time to time in that movie as well.
It is the story of Clint Curtis, and it also shows the research and investigation that Brad did when he first learned of the claims of Clint Curtis. And many of our listeners know about this story. I'll just thumbnail it for you. Clint was working in Florida for a company when Tom Feeney, who was a bigwig in the Republican Party in Florida, I think the Speaker of the House in the Florida legislature,
yep.
came in to talk to Clint and Clint's boss and said, I need to get me some software that I can use to steal elections. And Clint was a little shocked by this, and then his boss said, yep, that's what we're going to do. We're going to make some software to steal elections. And Clint ultimately became the whistleblower who challenged Tom Feeney for his congressional seat in 2006. And disappointingly, he lost in the primary this year as he tried to mount an additional challenge. And he believes that the 2006 96 election was not conducted fairly because, as I recall, Brad, he went door to door and got affidavits from thousands of voters, and those affidavits did not match. It was essentially a post-election exit poll, and those didn't match the published tallies.
Yeah, that's right. And the Democrats in Congress, in the House Administration Committee, when he challenged that election under the federal law that allows that to happen, his race and four others were summarily rejected by the Democrats. They didn't even look at that information, those affidavits, didn't even look at the evidence presented to them, unfortunately.
Patty, give us a little bit of your background as a filmmaker, and then I'll ask you what brought you to this subject.
Yeah, this is the second film that I've made. I went to UCLA Film School and got a master's and then started working as a sound person in the news, mostly industry.
Mm.
And, you know, I come across a lot of stories that I feel don't get reported properly or at all. And another film that I made, Citizen Stan, was playing at a festival, and I met Brad and Clint. It was the first time that they had met each other. And I listened to Clint's story, and I found him very believable. And I went about trying to hook up people that I know in the news industry, thinking that they would like to hear his story. But as all of them approached it, no one went all the way and actually reported on it. They backed away, which is the only reason why I stepped into the fray, because I knew it needed to be told.
Patty, give us one example of someone who you approached in the media, said, here's a great story, you're a journalist, run with it, and they walked and then they sat down.
Well, people from Brian Ross's unit, people from 60 Minutes, people from San Francisco Chronicle, from the L.A. Times. I mean, there's a list. The two biggest papers in California and two of the biggest investigative units on TV. And
what kind of reasons did they give you for their disinterest? Because Paris Hilton was going to jail?
Story. You know, it's a story that comes into a sworn affidavit and a lie detector test. So the lawyers, they don't really want to run with a story like that. They got to have some cold, hard evidence, and they don't consider that. I mean, you know, I put him in the movie in a very tight shot for a long time and leave it to you to decide, is he telling the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the film itself is sort of the beginning of the film when Patty started to put it together was sort of based around, she talks about putting him under the harsh lights. We did a long interview with Clinton. This is already going back a couple of years where I sat down and I, you know, did my best. It wasn't a Sean Hannity softball interview. You know, I tried to grill this guy as best I could, tried to catch him in a lie, was not able to. Have since, of course, been able to catch Tom Feeney and the company that he worked for at the time, Yang Enterprises, Inc., have been able to catch them in many, many lies. And he's being investigated for his dealings with Abramoff as well right now by the FBI. But the story that Patty tells, and the film does tell this story, sort of my attempts to, you know, to get it out there, she ran into that same story in trying to get it to the news media. I share her bewilderment. You know, when I broke this story in December of, 2004,
right.
You know, I thought, oh, great, this is a hell of a story. I'll break it. It's a terrifying story, so I can't wait to get it out there and let Newsweek pick it up from here.
Mm-hmm. It's a story with legs in every direction.
Right. One would think, and I thought that would be the case. And, you know, they called Newsweek, CNN, 60 Minutes, all of that stuff. They called, but they never ran with the story, and I guess, therefore, I kind of got stuck with it. But, you know, and people have seen parts of this story, I think. They know parts of it, but they don't know the whole story. And this film really gives you the whole story and stuff that doesn't appear, you know, in some of these other great election integrity documentaries. This one has the time to go into Clint's full story, the dead guys, the Chinese spies. It's all there, and it's pretty creepy.
And there's a website in support of the film at votinglies.com, voting L-I-E-S, votinglies.com. You can download a trailer, or through PayPal, you can buy yourself a copy. It's $15 plus shipping, and it says here, purchase advance copy. Patty,
I just picked them up today, hot off the press. I've got the full copy ready to go.
Okay, so no more advance. You can get one, and I encourage you to view this. I think it's very well done, both journalistically and graphically, and I think that you tell the story quite well. And it's
well, you know, if you have friends that doubt that the 2000 or the 2004 elections were stolen, this puts a healthy skepticism into somebody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only Clint is in the movie, but also Harry Hursty, the guy that hacked Diebold machines. He tells you how he did it and why it's so easy, and you know, the cumulative effect of a lot of people giving testimony about this issue is that you can't walk away lulled into the idea that this couldn't happen again.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's a very important point. And we see that while some things have shifted, our elections still often are privatized, and either the collection or the counting of the votes is subbed out, essentially, to corporate interests. And we really need to make sure that it is managed, controlled, and every step of the way is transparent.
Yeah, I think the same deregulation, the same year that they were deregulating the subprime and loans and all this, was the year that they put in HAVA, Help America Vote Act, and no regulation over the integrity of these machines.
We're talking with Patty Sheriff, the filmmaker of this new film. It's called Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies. Go to the website at votinglies.com. Patty, stay with us. We're going to take a break, and we'll continue with his Bradness 2, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. If you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And Charles from Monterey wants you to know that the Obama website is barackobama.com, not just obama.com. All right? barackobama.com. You got that? KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsberg with your final KRXA 540 traffic report on Friday, September 19th. We've got a hazard to report to you on Via Mallorca at County Road 16 in Monterey County. Staying in Monterey County on Highway 101 northbound, just south of North Davis Road in Salinas. We've got a traffic hazard to report for you there. And in Hollister, Gilroy, San Juan, Hollister Road, just east of State Road 156, traffic hazard. Be very careful at Union Road and Union Heights Drive in Hollister, Gilroy. It appears that there may be a fatality there, so traffic is very slow. And a hazard still on the board at Madison Lane and Chanticleer Avenue in Santa Cruz. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon, your weekend, and the beautiful weather here in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties.
My name is R.J. Moyer, President of Family Heritage Management Services. I am a retirement specialist, and I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your banker or broker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 831-794-8485 to receive your free brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup in our Salinas location. Call 831-794-8485. It's a new market, and it's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485. If you transfer your IRA, 401k, or any of your retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, $700,000 becomes $770,000. It's a new market. It's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit StayFitEatRight.org.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. And just a quick note, there was a change in the California budget, a little bit for the better. It's a real stinky budget, but after the governor's veto threat, they did remove what I call the payday loan clause. And that was going to impose a loan to the state of California from every paycheck receiver in the state. And it was due to be in effect for the full year of 2009. They would double your withholding, but the tax rate would remain the same. So they'd be borrowing that extra money from you, promising to pay it back in the spring of 2010. That ugly little fiscal Band-Aid was dropped, and that's a relief, I think, to many people who count on receiving their whole paycheck, or at least what's left of it, every week or every other week. We continue with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, and as we mentioned, he is featured in the new film, Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies. Filmmaker Patty Sheriff is with us as well. And, Patty, for you, when you look at what Clint Curtis told us, what does it predict about this November's election from your point of view?
Well, I think that we have to be very wary of what's going on here and that these guys have a lot of tricks up their sleeves, not just the electronic voting machines, but these caging practices, and, you know, we really have to be on top of it. I think what I take from Clint is that here's this little guy who had such tremendous courage and, you know, turned around and went toe-to-toe with the bad guy and ran for Congress against him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it just puts a little wind in all of our sails that you can get somewhere, even as one person.
Mm-hmm. And Brad,
yeah, and you know, I'd underscore that to say that while Tom Feeney is still a fugitive roaming the streets, he hasn't been thrown in jail yet. You know, Clint coming out and telling this story has had, you know, the effect to understand, to help folks understand just how, well, A, how bad Tom Feeney really is, but also how easy it is to game this system and how important it is for someone, as Patty suggests, to stand up and make noise when they see this stuff. And he has done that. And, you know, I frankly think the country owes him a great debt of thanks for that, because the story has certainly captured the imagination, I think, of a lot of folks in this country over the years. And so now they can see the whole story in this film.
And Patty, you talked earlier about people who are skeptical of my claim, that the elections were stolen in 2000 and 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's any way to actually persuade them, or does this kind of go into the netherworld of conspiracy theories? And because it doesn't get the kind of traction in the corporate media, as you described earlier, people therefore think that we're crazy to claim this because, gosh, you know, why won't 2020 or 60 Minutes tell us about this if you guys think it's so serious?
Well, it is something when I show people the movie, usually the first thing they say is, how come I never heard about this? And it's people like Brad, you know, that are stepping up to the plate. And, you know, he wasn't a journalist before 2004, per se, but there's a vacuum there, and he fills it beautifully, and it's the word out to quite a few people about what's really going on. He's now the premier internet site to go find information on him in this subject.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Brad, help me out here.
No, you were saying nice things about me. You're doing great. I don't have to say a word.
Yeah, Brad usually promotes things that involve him by saying, you know, come and see it anyway.
That's right.
But I have to say that I think this is really well done. I think that you do portray Brad in a way that shows his skills, shows his commitment to these issues. And
yeah, I think what this movie does, it gets under your skin, where there's other election fraud movies out there that give you a wonderful overview of how the whole thing developed and where it's breaking down. But this one person described it as an Alfred Hitchcock of the election fraud movies.
Yeah, and there is the one scene that involves the murder that's in the title that is a little bit grisly, but I'm glad you included it because I think people need to see the reality of how serious these matters are and how, you know, the people who are perpetrating these frauds and manipulations at least have the potential.
It's got a great tagline. What happens when one man finds himself on the wrong side of a smoking gun?
Yeah.
Love that.
Well, Patty, I want to thank you for joining us. I want to direct people again to the website votinglies.com, where you can find out more about the Clint Curtis story and order your own copy of the DVD. Why don't you hold a party at your house and show it to some friends and to some unconvinced people. Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
And, Brad, just about a minute and a half remaining. I wanted to get a quick update about Ohio because I got some email traffic this week that shows that Cliff Arnebeck has tried to get some support from Jennifer Bruner, and at least at this stage, the Secretary of State doesn't appear to be cooperating in their investigation of 2004 in Ohio.
I had the opportunity to talk with Jennifer Bruner about that a couple weeks ago in Denver, and you had mentioned an interview that I will have coming out with her. I did get to talk to her about it, and I believe, I can't say too much yet, but I think it's safe to say I believe you will see some encouraging news on this issue by next week at the latest.
Okay.
I'll tease you with that.
I'm feeling teased.
It's all I can give you for the moment.
All right. Well, we will just have to check in daily at bradblog.com and see when that news breaks.
Yes, and it I think will be interesting and exciting news.
All right, great. Well, Brad, thank you very much as always, and I appreciate your contributions to the show and the work that you keep doing. And what are your vacation plans for late November?
I'll be taking off November 5th. Nothing should be going on that day, so I'll be off for a while at that point. Hey, are we on next week during the debate or what?
What time does the debate start? I made a note to self to check that out, and I didn't get to do it yet.
Hopefully it comes on right after you and I get off the air next Friday.
That's my guess, that it'll be at 6 o'clock Pacific, but we will check, and if it's on at 5 o'clock, we'll carry that hour.
There you go.
Okay, Brad.
Thank you, my friend.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'll talk to you next time. Share a podcast of this hour or any portion of our program with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Until then.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The prospect of a credit market bailout sparked a rally on Wall Street today. The Dow jumped 368 points to finish the week at 11,388. Traders seem more relieved that credit will start flowing again than they are worried about the enormous cost. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
The closest the government can get to telling taxpayers how much of our money it will take to bail out the banks of their bad mortgage debt is hundreds of billions of dollars.
This action does entail risk, but we expect that this money will eventually be paid back.
But it won't be anytime soon, certainly long after President Bush leaves office in 4 months. And he says the risk to the nation of not taking action is, in his words, far higher. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Administration officials and congressional leaders will spend the weekend working out details of the plan, hoping for final votes by this time next week. Market analyst Hugh Johnson says confidence has been restored.
The truth is the market likes the fact that everybody now recognizes this is a serious crisis and something's being done about it and enough is being done about it to deal with the crisis effectively.
But he says the confidence could be shaken if the bailout plan is delayed or derailed. Barack Obama says he's withholding details of his own economic plan until the credit crisis is resolved.
I fully support the efforts of Secretary Paulson and Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke to work in a bipartisan spirit with Congress to find a solution.
John McCain hasn't commented directly on the administration's plan, but says the Fed should get out of the bailout business.
Federal Reserve should get back to its core business of responsibly managing our money supply and inflation.
McCain's been promising to reform regulation of the financial markets, but CBS News chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer says this crisis has damaged his standing.
I think it's much harder for him now to argue that he can be the candidate of change. It's not only his party, but he was the chairman of the Commerce Committee. He led the effort to deregulate, and now he's calling for more regulation. So I think the momentum that John McCain had coming out of the Republican convention, this is going to make it harder for him to continue that.
Singer